Doctor Who podcast by a fan and her dad.
No, it's a fan and his daughter.
Season 1, The Censorites, episodes 5 and 6.
What? I was just starting to like this doctor.
You got all cantankerous in the last few moments, didn't you? I was thinking, you know, we'd been talking earlier about which doctor would you like to travel with. I think I know one doctor I would not like to travel with. He was touched earlier in the story when Ian half paid him a compliment. But gosh, he turned in those last moments, didn't he?
Annoyed.
It's interesting. It was such a popular show. He was such a popular figure. Kids loved him.
I could see why you would. There were bits where he was being like funny and happy or like sort of half making fun of people. He's like very clever, but he always does the clever things as though they're like just normal and that's not the main point of whatever's happening.
He doesn't worry too much about social niceties.
No.
So that was a different director for the final two episodes. And that made me look at them differently, maybe. I don't know if there really was a different look. It felt to me like they were slightly better directed. You started off with the shot of the Doctor in episode 5 in the tunnel. And we've seen in The Web of Fear there were some shots like this as well, really close up. And everything else is in darkness and it's just the face which is in light, which I suppose is very economical in terms of sets and so on. It's not something I think we see in New Who.
I liked the lighting because it was like the tunnels were like meant to be really low light but not completely dark. So it wasn't just the torch beams. It was also a bit of other light. There are a couple of shots like the one where they found the Doctor lying down. Took me a minute to try and actually work out where the people were. It wasn't until they started moving around a lot that I'm like, oh, they're there, because I couldn't work out what the scale was. But mostly I think the shots are done really well. I think, though, in terms of my enjoyment of the episodes, I really quite liked episode 1. I didn't enjoy the next ones as much, although I still liked them mostly. And then I liked these ones more.
Yeah. Is it just the 6-episode thing? Is that we ran into with The Web of Fear? There was one which seemed a bit slow. Is it hard to sustain the pace over 6 episodes? But those last two, or is it because we're not watching it over a month and a half? Does that also come into play? Maybe if we just saw one episode and then left it a week and then saw one, maybe they would have more impact if we were watching it like that. But I agree, the cliffhanger in the 5th episode, I didn't see that coming. And that was another really good and seems to be, from the few episodes I've seen from this era, a typical thing where they're using off-screen space. So they have a character moving really close and they're looking around and you can't see anything off-screen. And then so something can just suddenly appear and give you a surprise and there's no way of have to creep up on you or anything.
You didn't see that kidnap coming?
Well, I didn't see the abduction coming. I think that was a crazy move on his part. I knew something was going to happen, but they've abducted her. Why? Why did, to get her to write a note to say to John that she'd gone back to the ship? But why was that? Where was that? How was that going to help?
I don't know, getting her out of the way.
Yeah, but why didn't they just get rid of her? If that was the plan was just to kill her or just to lock her up, why did she have to, I don't know, maybe they were hoping that no one would look for her then? But although he'd been very lucky, the city administrator had been very lucky. He'd come up with these plans. It hadn't been working, but he kept on landing on his feet anyway.
His accomplice kept getting caught instead of him.
Yeah.
There was one point where I'm sort of wait, how? I thought he only had one accomplice. How many does he have? Because I thought he'd left one person guarding.
He had a couple at least, didn't he?
Yeah.
But again, all the things we liked earlier on, I still liked. I think I really liked the Censorites. They are a little bit like the Ood, and I think there was some even reference. Oh, have you seen an Ood episode yet?
I've only seen The Doctor's Wife.
Okay, so you've seen one Ood. Okay.
Which doesn't really count.
Well, the Ood have a sphere as well, but and that's near this one. I think there's some mention of that. Maybe they're just too similar to the Ood, but I think they'd be worth bringing back.
Yeah, we're talking about Carol. I really liked her. She's always being really real.
Realistic.
Yeah.
When John said, "She's all that matters to me," but oh dear.
Yeah.
Bad things are about to happen.
Yeah, when that conversation started, I'm just like, yeah, I really hope that she survives, but...
And the sets, you mentioned again the sets, and I was paying more attention to that, and they were really nice.
Yeah.
Just, And I should have known what was going on in the aqueduct because they'd mentioned about the ship.
I didn't see the people being down there, but I'm not quite sure if it was ever explained what the monster things were. But I still stand by my theory of those thingies that they found in the wall, maybe something else is just projecting the noises.
Well, I'm assuming it was the soldiers, because I remember that Susan saw the light fixture without the light.
Yeah.
And they'd mentioned about every time they tried to get lighting on there, it failed for some reason. So I reckon they were down there making dark zones. When people came down, they would make loud noises and it would be easy to defend that space because they wouldn't want to come back. It was quite aphoristic as well. There were little aphorisms like, see all the time is not a good thing.
Yeah.
And I have a new phrase for you. Remember your family group.
That was a bit weird. There are a couple of things that I do, just a little weird. Like, remember your family group. The number of times you said that was just sort of starting to annoy me. But also, like, the everyone is contented with their positions and there's no shame in any of them, even though we get to drink this beautiful water and they don't.
That's right.
Or the workers are content with, was it conformity or something?
That would be another reason why it would be good to revisit and maybe explore the society a bit more, because is that true? Is everyone content? And maybe they've worked out the brain to an extent that this apparent caste system works, or on the other hand.
Although it did seem to be, like there's one point where I think it was Susan said, well, there's always some people who want more.
No, that was Carol.
That's a human trait, surely. Which at the time I thought like, well, actually, the city advisor wasn't trying to gain power, or that he was partially trying to do that. But the main reason that he was being nasty was because he wanted to protect the city. Like there was the...
He was xenophobic.
There was the person who was working for him because they wanted a better job.
Oh, that's a good point.
But that was like one person, though, you know.
But I thought the city administrator actually did a really good job of playing the role and being really unlikable. Despite having a mask. Like, there wasn't much expression in his face that he could use, but I really didn't like him.
I liked a bit where the doctor and Ian were talking about something. They said, we're surrounded by enemies. And then it cut to a bit. This administrator who was talking, and a couple of minutes later, he said, we're surrounded by enemies.
Yeah, there were some nice parallels.
I thought that was very funny. It's like both sides are surrounded by the other.
That's a good point. I also liked, did you notice the references to Gallifrey? Where I come from, the sky is always orange. And the leaves on the trees are silver. And we've just seen Hellbent and Heaven Sent. And remember in Heaven Sent, there was the light coming through the window when he was sitting down and eating the soup, and it was an orange light. And that was because he was actually on, like, the dial was actually on Gallifrey. This was, like, in the first season, and that was just like a throwaway kind of comment.
Yeah.
It's interesting how the world building happens accidentally and incidentally and incrementally over the 50 years. At the very end, you probably haven't read a book by Joseph Conrad called Heart of Darkness. He reminded me a little bit of Kurtz.
The fact that he kept, like, they were all mad to a certain extent, but he was obviously, like, much better because he kept talking to Number Two. Why don't they have names? Actually, for that matter, why don't the Censorites have names?
Yeah, good point.
But he kept talking to Number Two and, like, saying, tell the men, buddy. It's like... Wait, don't you only have...
There's one other guy.
Two.
But there was a good a reason for that too. Like, I liked that because maybe somehow it was being exposed to the sense sphere, or, you know, they tried to use the communication. So they, there was... And we'd seen the effect on John.
Yeah.
So I kind of liked that too, because it wasn't just that they were bad people. You know, maybe they were or something, but there was an actual... in-story reason why they would be unhinged, and that would make sense.
It was one tiny thing which I found annoying. He was promoted to the second elder sort of accidentally by Ian and Dr. and Susan.
Yeah.
But didn't the first elder earlier, so like talk about how he chose the second elder personally and he could vouch for him, this time all it took was some guy from another planet saying, you know, I think he's got all the qualifications, even though I know nothing about the way things work here. And he's just like, yeah, you got the job.
It did seem a little, it wasn't very rigorous.
No.
There was no application as such. They didn't get a committee together, no screening of candidates. Yeah, that's true.
I thought it was weird. Like, he's like, you will address me as sir, but that had never come up before. It's like, okie dokie.
Anything else?
I liked how in the first one, kidnap, it was the picture for the episode was the doctor and then it said kidnap across it. Mm. So it sort of made you think it was the doctor that was kidnapped. Although it might also have been referring to the second elder.
That's true.
There's a couple of places where I'm not sure. I think you were speaking earlier about it being shot almost live. Mm. I think the actors messed up their lines.
Oh, a lot of times, yeah. That was really noticeable, wasn't it? And in fact, wasn't there a time when Susan was talking to the chief scientist and the chief scientist actually started saying one of Susan's lines? And then she came in over the top and said the same thing and continued on.
Susan said, here, pipe here.
Yeah.
Or something. I can't remember what the words were, but she said them in the wrong way the first time.
And one of the city administrators, offsiders, got really quite stuck, repeated the same thing about three times. I mean, this is a long time ago now. It's more than 50 years ago. It's a really different way of putting things together. But it does, it leaves some loose threads and it's not quite, it's just a little looser.
Though I sort of liked the not talking right, because that's how people talk in real life. Like, you sometimes just sort of forget what you were going to say, so you'll repeat the same thing a couple of times, or you say something wrong, then you correct yourself.
Mm, it seems more real.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I liked Susan crossing her fingers all the time. That was just sort of cute. I liked the fact they had pointy sticks as weapons and Ian had a rolled up piece of paper.
That was great. What was he going to do with that? He says the doctor, take this. Now with my rolled up newspaper.
Rolled up newspaper is actually quite a good weapon.
With my rolled up map and I will poke you.
Did you think, I'm not sure, when they used the starters at the end, the noise sort of sounded like the start of the TARDIS materialisation?
Oh,
except cut short.
The noise of the
stunner thingies.
Oh, I didn't notice.
This sort of, except then it didn't keep going that long.
Yeah, and that was another thing. Like, the city administrator was doctoring that before the plan for them to go down into the tunnels had been hatched. I think there was a little bit of, that was a little bit loose. But overall, I thought it was really well written, really well plotted. Maybe the 6 weeks thing is, maybe they could have lost a week in there.
Yeah. One last thing. When did the doctor's scanner stop looking like, I don't even know, something ancient for the TARDIS?
The scanner?
They're looking outside and it's like, I'm used to you looking at that and it being what's outside. There it's all like grainy and you can't even see all the bits of the ship. And
yeah, I thought actually the ship that was going away, I thought that special effect was quite good. But this is TV at the time. Maybe it even was a TV. I don't know how they put it together. I don't know. It'd be interesting. Were they actually looking at something when they had screen, when there was something on the scanner, were the actors actually seeing something or was that put in later? And if they were seeing something, it probably would have been a TV. And so that would be, it would just be as good as a TV could be in the 1960s. Well, we had dinner. We've watched Doctor Who. It's a school night. It's a charming outlook.